The Court of Appeal says the law on assisted suicide needs to be clarified. Judges found in favour of a paralysed man, identified in court only as Martin, who wants a nurse or a carer to travel abroad with him so that he can end his life. However, the court dismissed two other cases brought by campaigners who want doctors to be allowed to help patients kill themselves. One of the cases rejected today was brought by the family of the late Tony Nicholson. He had locked-in syndrome and died last year. His wife, Jane, is with me now. Good morning to you, Jane.
Morning.
Good morning. Remind us why this is so important, was so important to your husband.
Because he was physically unable to take his own life. I mean, he couldn't do anything for himself. I mean, he couldn't move at all. He couldn't speak. And he didn't want to live like this. But because of his physical disabilities, he was unable to do this. And he couldn't even do it with help. It was actual euthanasia that he was after.
And the court rejected your bid yesterday.
Yeah, they did. It wasn't a total surprise. You know, we were very disappointed because you, even if you're told that you probably won't win at this stage, you always hope. We'll carry on. We've already been given permission to appeal to the Supreme Court, so that's what we'll be doing.
I guess what I would ask you to try to do today is, we hear about these court rulings and, you know, the language is very precise. Can you humanise this as much as possible about why, when it is happening to you and your family, this is so important?
It's, to be honest, before Tony was taken ill, it was something I really didn't have an opinion on. And I think until it actually happens to you, it's very difficult to understand, you know, how awful someone's life can be. You know, he was totally dependent on other people for absolutely every aspect of his life. He was mentally competent. His mind was completely normal. And he just didn't want to carry on living like this. To him, his life was a living hell, really.
And in what way a living hell?
He was always very active. You know, he was an ex-rugby player. He was life and soul of the party. And, you know, to go from being like that one day to being basically having to be looked after like a baby, you know, the next day, it just wasn't enough for him. You know, people would say to me, well, other people can live like this, so why can't Tony? Because I know there are people out there with locked-in syndrome, and even in conditions worse than that, you know, who need to be ventilated and things. And they could live a normal life, but everyone has different expectations from life, you know, and for Tony, it wasn't enough, you know, even though it would mean he'll never see his grandchildren or anything like that, he just didn't want to live like it.
But there will be people, and these arguments are well rehearsed, you will have heard them many, many times, who will say that no one has the right to kill another human being. God has that right to take life away. And that we cannot start on the slippery slope of allowing certain people to take life away. Life is too precious for that.
Sorry, yeah. The religious argument Tony was always very cross about, because he made no secret of the fact that he was an atheist and he didn't see why people's religious views should be thrust upon him. You know, he had no problems with them having them, but he didn't. These weren't his views. The slippery slope argument, again, we feel is a load of nonsense. You know, if a system would be put in place, it would be very, very strongly, it would be a very rigorous procedure whereby someone would have to actually go to court to get permission from court to do this. They would be assessed, they would presumably have to have psychiatric evaluations to make sure they weren't just clinically depressed. I mean, it wouldn't be easy to do, but, you know, that would safeguard, you know, people that are vulnerable.
Geoffrey Donaldson is a DUP MP. If that court process is there, Geoffrey, then the argument that this is going to make it, you know, far, far easier for people to manipulate and take advantage of elderly people who they just don't want around anymore, that goes out the window. There would be a judge scrutinising this.
Well, that's only one of the arguments, Stephen, against introducing such a law in the UK. I begin from the very basic and fundamental position that I believe in the sanctity of human life. And I think it's wrong for people to take it into their own hands to end human life in these circumstances. Now, I recognise the suffering that there can be when someone is suffering from a terminal illness or from a an illness that radically changes their life. I appreciate that, and I don't underestimate. I've seen people in my own life who have suffered in that way, and it's a dreadful experience. However, I don't believe that assisted suicide is the answer, and I think what we need to do is do more to support the provision of palliative care, of adequate support for those who are suffering, and looking and putting money into research to tackle the kind of diseases.
Sure, but Geoffrey, easy for you to say, easy for me to talk about it, easy for anybody to talk about this until they are the person lying there wanting to die in excruciating pain, and their decision is being blocked by people like you, in a suit, sitting comfortable.
Well, Stephen, my job, along with other members of Parliament, is to determine what the law should be in the United Kingdom. And I'm entitled to my viewpoint. And my viewpoint is that I do not believe it is right for Parliament to legislate for assisted suicide in these circumstances. And I don't accept the argument that says, oh, we can put in place safeguards. And let me explain why, Stephen. And look, I'm not making a direct comparison between assisted suicide and abortion, but there are principles here that I think apply. In 1967, the government in England and Wales changed the law to make provision for abortion in very specific and certain circumstances. And we were told there were safeguards in place that would prevent social abortion from taking place. Since then, 8 million unborn children have been aborted. And in a huge percentage of those cases, they did not meet the legal criteria laid down in law, and yet abortions were permitted. And I am concerned that no matter what safeguards you put in place, the law doesn't stand still. And I have observed this now, being a member of Parliament for almost 20 years. The law doesn't stand still. Once you create the law, it then gets amended and amended, and constantly the thrust is towards liberalising.
Okay. Jane, what would you say to that?
Well, nonsense, quite honestly. And I want to pick up on an earlier point saying that care is the problem. You know, people need better care. I take huge offence at that comment. I looked after Tony at home. There was nothing more that could have been done for him. He had every gadget imaginable that he could operate with his eye blinks, and I looked after him myself, and I'm really angry at that comment. There was nothing that could have been done to help his care. We had palliative care experts here to speak to him, and really all they could offer was for him to go to a daycare centre, and Tony said he'd rather stick pins in his eyes than do that. And I just think it's ridiculous. Other countries have legislation for this, which work. The pro-lifers will tell you that it doesn't, but it does work. And so if they can have it, why can't we?
Go on, Geoffrey.
Well, I don't mean to cause offence to anyone, and I wasn't being specific to this case. I am saying, and in my experience as a Member of Parliament, that there are people who feel they could have more care and more support, and I'm saying in those circumstances that ought to be provided, and that the answer is not to prematurely end the life of someone who finds themselves in that situation. And I mean, we're just not going to agree on this, and I understand that. I just come at this from a very different perspective. And that, you know, people can rubbish my view as your...
And to understand the level of pain, Geoffrey, to understand the level of anxiety for someone who wants to die, who's locked in, only able to move, and can't ever move again.
I understand that, Stephen. I have a younger brother who was born with cerebral palsy. And, you know, he has very, very serious disabilities. Now, would I have wanted him, because of the seriousness of his disabilities, would we have wanted to have seen him, his life terminated prematurely? He's still alive over 40 years later when we were told, as a family, his prospects of life were very short. So, you know, we value my brother, and we just take a different view. And, you know, people can rubbish my view all they want. Frankly, I find that offensive. I'm entitled to my viewpoint. You know, in a democracy, And I respect other people's views, and I will listen to other people's views, and I won't describe them as rubbish, because I think there are many people in the United Kingdom and in many other countries who believe that the sanctity of human life is so important that you do not legislate.
But this is about, Jeffrey, this isn't about third parties' views, is it? This is about people like you imposing your view on the individual. So we're not actually talking here about, you know, what a third party wants to do to another human being. We're talking about a human being wanting to end their own life.
Well, Stephen, where does that begin and end? I'm a member of Parliament. I stand before the people. They know my views and they choose whether to elect me or not. I'm not imposing anything. I am a representative of the people. I'm not a dictator. I didn't parachute in from space. I'm elected. I'm there because a large majority of people in my constituency chose to put me
there. Sure, but the consequence of this legislation...
Sorry, Stephen, please. Knowing after four terms in Parliament what my views are on these issues, I get strong support for those views. Now, you can dismiss the people who are sitting at home today who share my view. You can dismiss them. You can say their views do not count. You can say they have no entitlement for that view to be represented in Parliament. But I'm sorry, Stephen, this is a democracy. And when people elect me, knowing what my views are and support my views, I'm entitled to voice them. Now, I can't impose my view. I have to persuade others in Parliament that my view is one that should be upheld. I can't go to Parliament and dictate to the other 649 MPs, you're going to take my view.
But it is the view of the many being imposed on the individual who is there in pain, completely removed from Parliament, completely removed from that voting process, and they may have taken the decision with their loving family that for them, in their best interest, they wish to end their life.
Yes, Stephen, but my job as a legislator is to determine what is good and what is bad in terms of law. And I am not convinced, and I've heard the arguments, I have not been convinced that the right thing to do is to legislate for assisted suicide.
Let us know what you think at home. 08459 555 678. Jane, is there anything you could say that would convince Jeffrey? He's making a very powerful argument this morning.
Probably not, but just simply that, you know, we're actually not even asking the law to be changed, so it's a moot point. There is a law in place that we are actually using, this law of necessity. So, you know, if we're going to wait for the MPs to change the law, then we'd be waiting forever. So, you know, the law is in place. We just have a different interpretation of it.